engage the enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is the coach, Rob Lotito. Our host, of course, is Dr. David Berman. Last time when we were with you folks, we had an interesting sermon being presented by Dr. David Berman. It's called Patriotic Sunday. Pastor, after the Supreme Court ruling, you were a little fired up, I think, and giving a sermon like this is not the norm. And I think people who heard the first part will be excited to hear the second part as well. And if you haven't heard the first part, please go back and listen to it. And if you're catching up with us now, Pastor, tell us a little bit about this sermon and why you did it.
Well, I would say it's the norm for me. Unfortunately, it's not the norm for most pastors in America who don't seem to want to speak up on these issues because they're afraid of something. I don't know what they're afraid of, but part one, we began to talk about what happened with the Supreme Court and really the founding liberty of the nation, what kind of government we are supposed to be from the founding. And then we continue in part two. Now, if you're joining us for the first time and you're listening to part two, you want to go back on our website and listen to part one, you can do that as well. But we're going to continue in this sermon hearing what really, I think, the important things that need to be said from the pulpit, because many pastors have been told and have and convinced themselves that they should not speak out on anything that happens in society because they believe somehow they're supposed to keep their religion behind the four walls of their church building. But that is not at all what we are called to do as Christians, number one, but neither is it what this nation was founded on. Freedom of speech is not behind the four walls. It's in society, in the marketplace of ideas. And we have just as much of right to speak as the liberals do. And so it's about time for Christians to stand up, particularly preachers, and preach already.
So you don't lose your First Amendment right when you go to the pulpit.
No, you do not.
Just because your name is pastor or reverend.
No, you do not.
Well, amen to that. And we're glad you're speaking about these things. You're listening to Smell the Truth Radio. SmellTheTruth.com is where you can go and get more information. Right now, let's go back to part two of Patriotic Sunday. Here is Pastor David Berman.
What have we done in this country? What has the church done? You know what the church has done? Nothing. And you mark my words. 56 million babies killed. Church does almost nothing. They codify in law a behavior which the Bible calls an abomination. Say you have to accept it or you're a hater. What does the church do? Nothing. But if they take our tax-exempt status away, you watch how many churches get upset. I'm already upset. John Adams said this: the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence, ready, were the general principles of Christianity. And I will avow that I believe and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. July 4th ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by the solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. John Adams. Could John Adams run for president today? I don't think so. Yeah. Samuel Adams. And I'm not talking about the beer. He said in... He who have made all men hath made the truths necessary to human happiness obvious to all. Our forefathers opened the Bible to all. Charles Carroll, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence: without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, are undermining the solid foundation of morals, the best security for the duration of a free government. That was in 1800. Benjamin Franklin. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger and had daily prayers in the room for divine protection. They did what? They did what? Daily prayer for protection? Are you kidding me? He must be lying, because we've been told that the nation's not supposed to have anything to do with God. Right? Our founders wanted a completely separate from society, anything to do with God at all, never the two shall meet. That's what we've been told. But the nation was birthed in prayer. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, Benjamin Franklin, we were sensible of danger. We had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. Do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? Benjamin Franklin would ask us that today, wouldn't he? Can we imagine we no longer need his assistance? Not only if we imagine we no longer need his assistance, we have decided that we're going to thumb our nose at God and take what is a biblical sign of a covenant, the rainbow, steal it, call it something that is perverted, and then take the central place in the nation, the very place when you think of America, the sort of central place you think of is representing America, is the White House. And light it up in rainbow colors, perverting the covenant that God has made, the symbol of it, and thumbing our nose at Almighty God. And make no mistake about it, my friends. The progressive left, the homosexual lobby, are not interested in tolerance. They're interested in forcing you to accept any behavior they say is okay. And they have been coming against every institution in this country, and they want their feet in the church, and in some churches they got it. For now we have churches in America coming out and saying that they believe that homosexuality came from God and should be embraced, thereby calling Jesus Christ himself, who they say they serve, calling him a liar. For in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said, clear as day, from the beginning, God made them male and female. We now have organizations in our country, organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center, whatever that stupid name is, who now decide who the haters are and who are not. And coincidentally, anybody who doesn't agree with them, guess what? Are haters. I'm sure I'm on lists all over the country. As far as I'm concerned, if your name gets listed as a bad person on the Southern Poverty Law Center website, that is a badge of honor. Patrick Henry, the orator of the revolution, if he's called, he said, this is all the inheritance I give my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed. That's in his last will and testament. Patrick Henry said these words. He said, it cannot be emphasized too clearly or too often that this nation was founded not by religionists. He's making the clear point that when the Bible says freedom of religion, he does mean freedom of religion. But when it says a free exercise there of religion and not establishing any one religion, he's talking about not establishing a state church. None of us want that. As I always say, Congress, can you imagine Congress running a church? Congress can't run anything. Anything. We don't want that. But it was said here by Patrick Henry, it cannot be emphasized too clearly, too often, that this nation was not founded not by religionists. In other words, not just by people who are into whatever religion, but specifically, he says, by Christians. not on just religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom to worship here. So, because they understood that Christianity is a choice and cannot be forced on you, that there's asylum for people from all over the world to worship here who may not be Christians. But this nation was not found by just religionists, but rather Christians. Now, I'm a Jew. I was born a Jew. I'm still a Jew. It doesn't change when you become a Christian. All the first Christians were Jews. And I acknowledge this nation was founded by Christians. It wasn't founded by Muslims. Hello? Hello? It wasn't. It could not have been founded by Muslims, since Muslims did not hold the truths that we hold to be self-evident. In Washington's farewell address, he writes this: George Washington, the great president, the name of America, which belongs to you, is your national capacity. Must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. Which slight shades of difference, you have the same religion. He says later on in his address, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in an exclusion of religious principle. So he said, listen, without religious principle, you can't have national morality. And do we have national morality today? I don't think so.
You are listening to Dr. David Ehrman, a sermon that was recorded on July 5th of this year, called Patriotic Sunday. This is part two of the sermon. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more of Dr. David Ehrman.
Today's liberal logic moment. This liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
Dr. Ehrman, today's liberal logic moment comes to us via the South Carolina flag that is flying and the tragedy that happened with the young man in the church and the liberal logic stuff behind this one.
Yes, unfortunately, this horrific shooting by this crazy man in the church and ended up killing 9 people. I think 22 or so were involved with this incident. It's horrific and terrible, but of course, the liberals never miss an opportunity to turn a tragedy into the furtherance of their agenda. And so they went after the so-called Confederate flag, which is really the battle flag, and said, oh, let's bring that down, because somehow this caused the shooting. And this, I think, goes to the liberal logic. It's always symbolism over substance. The Confederate flag, whether you like it or not, you know, and I'm not particularly a proponent of it. I've never had one, never flew one. I just really don't care about it. But the idea that the Confederate flag is the reason why this guy walks in, this insane person, and shoots these poor people, it's just absurd. They don't want to deal with the real issues. And so when something like this happens, they come up with their liberal logic of explaining why all the outside factors are causing people to do this and that, instead of just recognizing that the guy himself is an evil nutcase. And that's the guy who did this.
That's true. On the other side of the fence, we have a sanctuary city like San Francisco,
yep,
where it's law to turn loose criminals, basically. And we had another tragedy where the young lady was shot and killed by a guy who let go 5 times by this city. And they don't think that's a cause at all.
Right. So it's incredible when you know if you look at the two and you say, okay, now you have a felon at least five times let go by the city of San Francisco, where they have this rule that says you cannot call the feds, the immigration officials. That's their rule. So you let him go, and this guy then murders this beautiful young woman. And they say there's no connection between a sanctuary city and the murder of this woman, and yet they take some flag flying over a symbol.
A symbol,
and say that's causing this guy to go in and kill these people. You see, here's the thing about the one thing we know for sure about the progressives. And it was Obama's chief of staff, I believe, who said that you never let a tragedy, you never miss an opportunity to further your what was the term?
Agenda.
I think what he said was you don't want to waste a tragedy or something like that because you can use that to further your agenda. A crisis. That's what he said, a crisis. So this is what the liberals and what the progressives do. Anytime there's a difficulty or a crisis, they try their best to then use that and twist that to further their agenda, whether it's taking your Second Amendment rights away, whether it's taking your First Amendment rights away, whatever they can do to push their insanity on us, that's what they will do. And they use these things for it. It is liberal logic, which really is an oxymoron because there is no such thing as liberal logic.
Another interesting liberal logic moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
SmellTheTruth.com.
We now return to Dr. David Berman's message, Patriotic Sunday, recorded this year on July 5th.
Are you all in John chapter 1? Now, before I read that, the Word of God starts in Genesis. With what? Three words. What's that? Say it again. One more time. In the beginning. And then what's the word that comes after that? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. The very fiber of the nation was built on this fact that in the beginning, God. And because God is God and he is endowed us with certain inalienable rights, we do not have the right to usurp those rights. If we do, then we are violating the authority of Almighty God. Do you understand the principle? So if you're an American, listen to me, if you're an American and you're an atheist, you have a right to be an atheist. But in exercising your right to be an atheist, you are not understanding what the Constitution says and what the founding documents say. Because if you're an atheist, there are no unalienable rights. There's only rights that man gives you and can take away from you. Because God exists, if it is wrong to murder somebody, because God exists, it is wrong to steal, because he is the lawgiver. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, man. In the beginning, God. That's why America was founded as a war of independence, but it was called the shot that was heard around the world, because it was coming against the false notion that men give you rights and men take them away. But rather, the biblical notion that if someone violates your rights, they are sinning against who? When David sinned against Bathsheba, who did he ultimately say he sinned against? Against thee. And thee only, Lord, have I sinned. So if you try to take away my inalienable right to free speech or freedom of my religion, which is what they're attempting to do, which is what they have done, then you've not only sinned against me, you've sinned against God himself. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. What did Genesis say? In the beginning, God. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word is God. That's what the Greek says. Theos is the Logos. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything made was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten Son of the Father,
full of grace and truth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, it says in Genesis 1. And the scripture tells us who God is. Manifested in the flesh, Christ, who is the Word. In the beginning, God, in the beginning, Word. God said, and it was so. My mother came to know Lord Jesus Christ at 86 years old. And a friend of mine, a preacher, went to see her in the hospital. I had preached the gospel to her. I had shared the gospel to her. She rejected it. My brother's had. She rejected it for numerous cases. And God, in His grace, sent a black preacher in to see my mother. And that preacher told her about Jesus, explained to her that He is the Messiah, the Jew. And she received the Lord a year before she passed. The answer to our problems is not found in legislation. It's not found in the next presidential candidate. It is found in repentance in the church and repentance in the nation. Christian people must not allow themselves to put their trust in other things. A line has been drawn in the sand. If you're on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side. You're not on both sides. You're on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Jesus said, if you confess me, I will confess you. Can that be any clearer? People fight me all the time about this. Pastor, how do you know the Bible's true? Numerous prophecies that have come to pass. Wisdom beyond man's thinking. The only thing that makes sense is that you and I are not perfect and we need a Savior. Do you really think you can save yourself? The nation was founded upon the idea that God is and that He is watching what we do. God gives us individual rights and individual responsibilities. Government must not be allowed to become big or it will be corrupt and violate personal rights. Men have the right to overthrow tyrannical government. Did you know in our own constitution in New Hampshire, we have the right to revolution? Did you know that? Did you know that? Read your constitution. If you haven't read it, read it. That's radical, Pastor Dave. What are you talking about? You calling for revolution? I'm just telling you we have a right to revolution. And according to the Declaration of Independence, we all have a right to revolution, no matter what state you're in. Our founders left us with the idea, our nation was founded on the fact that there is truth. Things are not relative. I cannot change truth by my thinking. Truth is truth. George Washington said, government is not reason. It is not eloquent. It is force. And like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington said, firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance. They are the people's liberty teeth. Right? Now I find myself this holiday struggling. I have to tell you, I struggled yesterday. Went to my brother's house for 4th of July like we always do. Fireworks. I struggled today. I really struggled with it. So what am I celebrating? And I celebrate what the nation was. But honestly, I don't celebrate what the nation is. I can't. And what about the flag? I just pledged allegiance to the flag this morning. I do that because when I pledge allegiance to the flag, I don't pledge allegiance to the government. See, what makes us different in America is that we don't pledge allegiance to some tin horn dictator or our government. We pledge allegiance to the flag because of the republic for which it stands. My allegiance first is to God. And then as an American, my allegiance is to the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. It is not the tyrannical government. When we say we're patriotic, we're not patriotic from the sense of other countries, where we say, if we're just going to be patriotic to any person who is destroying our land, who happens to be in power. Our patriotism is to the founding principles of liberty, to the Constitution, to the Declaration of Independence, the understanding of this nation's founding. And every single state constitution, every one, the preamble to every single state constitution, every one mentions God. Every one. Well, Mr. President, Congress, and Supreme Court, you've beaten down our right to be secure in our papers and private affairs with your NSA spying. You've beaten down our personal property rights with granting of eminent domain beyond what the Constitution declares and your federal overreaching regulations. You've beaten down our rights as individual sovereign states by ignoring the 10th Amendment. You've beaten down our right to keep and bear arms with your regulation that infringes upon that right. You have beaten down our right to purchase or not purchase a product with your tyrannical ruling, forcing us under the penalty of law to be involved with Obamacare. You've squandered our nation's fiscal health with your unconstitutional lust for spending and political power payoffs. You have beaten down our most sacred right to freedom of speech and freedom to practice our Christian faith. You've beaten down the most precious right to life with your sanction of the murder of 56 million babies. You've become the very enemies of the Constitution that you swore to defend. And we say, no more.
No more.
And we will not submit to tyranny.
Amen, Dr. David Berman, finishing up a two-part series on Patriotic Sunday. Taught at his church recently. What a great, great ending to that, that we will stand for liberty, truth, the Word of God. We're going to stand up against the opposing people out there, because we're not going to stand for America being torn apart. We would love for you to go to our website, smellthetruth.com, and share Smell the Truth Radio with your friends. We also would like you to look at articles recently written by Dr. Berman, and books that he has for sale as well. If you'd like to donate, you could do it at the website too. Or you can write to us at Smell the Truth Radio, 116 Main Street, Marlboro, New Hampshire, 03455. Would you follow us on Twitter at Smell Truth? Like us on Facebook at Smell the Truth Radio. Again, this is the coach, Rob Lotito, saying thank you on behalf of Dr. David Berman for listening to Smell the Truth Radio, where we are disseminating the truth around the world.
SmellTheTruth.com